from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali from KQED in San Francisco.
And I'm Scott Rodd from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento. Today, we're joining forces to preview a day of action at the Capitol by teachers from around the state. Several teachers' unions have gone on strike this year in Los Angeles, Oakland, and Sacramento.
Right. One here in the Bay Area even went on strike this week, New Haven Unified near Hayward. Scott, the Teachers Association says charter schools are a big part of the problem, and they didn't waste much time advancing an aggressive legislative agenda to increase regulation of charter schools.
Right, and Governor Gavin Newsom has taken action on charter schools where former Governor Jerry Brown declined. In March, he signed a fast-track bill requiring charters to follow the same open meeting and public records laws as local school districts. Brown vetoed similar legislation. Within weeks of taking office, Newsom also created a task force to evaluate charters. The California Teachers Association sees this as an opportunity. Here's Eric Hines, president of the association.
The charter school industry has been like the Wild West, with very little transparency or accountability in the system to how they were spending taxpayer money.
One proposal backed by the association would place a cap on new charter schools in the state, something Brown opposed, although he signed legislation to end for-profit charter schools. Hines says he can't predict how Newsom will act on charter school legislation.
But I feel better about it than I have in a long time.
Charter school advocates have mounted a campaign against the proposals. In April, they protested outside the district office of Democratic Assemblymember Kevin McCarty.
Part of what the charter school law is intended to do is to give these kids another option within the public school system to have a high quality and rigorous education.
Despite opposition, the legislation passed through committee and awaits a vote on the assembly floor. And we'll be hearing a lot more about the issue of charter schools when teachers descend on the Capitol in a few hours.
And we'll be following your reporting at Capitol Public Radio on this rally today. Let's stay in Sacramento where you are, Scott, because on Tuesday, the state filed yet another lawsuit against the Trump administration for its attempts to take back money meant for California's high-speed rail project.
That's right. California isn't giving up $1 billion in federal money without a fight. KQED's Katie Orr reports.
California says the Trump administration is attempting to take back the money as a way to punish the state after it resisted President Trump's efforts to build a border wall. The lawsuit notes California first learned the nearly $1 billion in high-speed rail funding was going to be terminated soon after Trump sent several disparaging tweets about the project. Governor Gavin Newsom says the administration's actions have implications beyond California.
Puts every large-scale infrastructure project in the United States of America at risk. You would have no trust or confidence in an appropriation. Everybody knows what it was. It was a petulant act by a petulant president.
The state is also asking for a temporary restraining order to prevent the money from being repurposed. The Trump administration says California hasn't made reasonable progress on the project and has abandoned its original plan of using the train to connect San Francisco and L.A. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's go to Bakersfield now, where the U.S. Bureau of Land Management heard the public weigh in on plans to open up federal land to fracking. Hundreds of thousands of acres are slated to reopen to oil production in California.
As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, tempers flared last night, and not just about the environment.
Absurd, insane, insulting. These were some of the critiques levied in the meeting against a recent BLM environmental analysis, which found no significant impacts associated with opening up federal land to fracking in the San Joaquin Valley and parts of the Central Coast. While a handful of people at the meeting approved of the BLM's analysis and the petroleum industry, the majority opposed them, like Fernando Serrano of the Tulare County city of Porterville, who worries about emissions from machinery and oil and gas wells.
Where I live, it's already one of the worst air qualities in the country. It's already an environmental disaster, and this could only make it worse.
The BLM is accepting public comments on the analysis, but only electronically, online, and in English. The Bakersfield meeting was not recorded, to the dismay of many attendees. Sherry Flint of the unincorporated community of Springville says it felt like the BLM got lazy.
I really feel like they just want to say, we opened it for public comment and now we're going to go do what we want.
In response, environmental groups hired a court reporter to transcribe people's comments so they can be entered into the record. The BLM says it does not regulate fracking and also that its analysis supports responsible oil and gas development. For the California Report, I'm Carrie Klein in Bakersfield.
The ACLU of Northern California is suing a contractor who works for Immigration and Customs Enforcement over allegations of mistreatment.
KQED's Farida Javala Romero reports four former ICE detainees are looking for monetary damages from the contractor G4S Secure Solutions.
The lawsuit is on behalf of four women who were transported by G4S from Richmond to an ICE detention facility in Bakersfield in July 2017. The women allegedly vomited and fainted, trapped in a suffocating van for several hours with metal shackles on and inadequate access to food, water, and critical medication.
They were treated like cargo. They weren't treated like human beings.
Jamie Crook is an attorney with the ACLU of Northern California.
It's something we're worried could continue to happen if G4S is not held to account.
Neither G4S nor ICE returned requests for comment. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
Now to the final part of our series about life on wheels. This week, we introduced you to Arturo Torres. He's a painter at Stanford.
During the week, he lives in his RV on a busy street near work, where his camper van is one of about 30 or so parked nose to nose. On Friday, he heads to his family in Fresno. KQED's Penny Nelson visited the Torres family in their Central Valley townhome, starting with his daughter, Vita.
Sometimes he comes home in the midnight, and I really miss him.
It's nearly 7 p.m. when Torres arrives back home in Fresno, where his wife Gloria waits for him with the kids. Vita, a boisterous second grader, and Judah, her shy 5-year-old little brother, tackle their dad as he comes in the door.
Papi!
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 Welcome to my house.
He was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Huh? She's my wife. Yeah.
Look at him, so dirty.
Yeah.
He's paint covered.
Yeah.
That's not exactly. Dirt, that's
yeah,
paint.
Yeah.
It's a custom paint.
Go ahead, let me take a shower.
After living in the tight quarters of his chilly RV for the week, he's back in his warm home. The difference between his RV on the street near Stanford and the family home in Fresno is stark. This community is teeming with children playing outside, tag, football, jump rope. Gloria sits at the kitchen table as her husband comes over and gives her a kiss. As Torres unwinds, Gloria tells me of her reaction when he first showed her his new home on wheels.
The place he get the RV, all the RVs are so new, beautiful, but very expensive. And he told me, you want to see mine? And I said, okay. And the very end, super ugly and dirty RV. And I said, what? I was so mad. But when I went to there in Palo Alto and I see another RVs, I realized and I said, wow. Now Penny, at that time I feel so bad. You know what? I'm so sorry.
but your wife and your kids are saying how much they miss you during the week.
Yeah. Me too.
Sunday or Monday, he couple hours left, and I text him, I miss you now. Yeah. And he said, yeah, me too. And honestly, I don't like to be alone here. We feel obligated to move for work. In the middle of the week, he told me, you know what, I miss you. I'm starting to miss you a lot. Okay, just endure a couple of days.
Yeah. With that, I head out and leave the family to their weekend together. For the California Report, I'm Penny Nelson in Fresno.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Learn how Collective Health works before employees and candidates ask for it at smartcompaniesknow.com. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing, through science, the interdependence of all living systems.
And that is the California Report for this Wednesday, May 22nd. A Teacher's Day of Action in Sacramento, and Capital Public Radio will be covering that day of action. We will hear that reporting tomorrow morning. I'm Lily Jamali.
And I'm Scott Rodd. Have a great day.